Punters and dribblers, as always, we're brought to you by the greatest multivitamin ever conceived by man, Good Day. Now, the reviews continue to flow in thick and fast.
Have you got that one from the other day?
Yeah, can I read it out?
Yeah, read it out.
It's so good. It's actually fucking unbelievable. What has been really nice, Tom and I were reflecting on this the other day, is just how much people are finding it
beneficial to their
massively
life.
Beneficial to their life. I know that at the start there would have been a lot of cynics out there going, these cunts are full of shit, they don't know what they're doing, and you couldn't be more wrong, which just brings joy to my little heart and my little soul. Now I want to get up this absolutely elite review,
and we do appreciate the reviews, obviously. Look, it's like the feedback is positive, so that's good. But just being able to hear how it's helping you and the different ways you're seeing benefits helps us know, I guess, the most tangible. Cause there's like tangible benefits and there's intangible ones, like energy, for example. You can feel an improvement in your daily energy, whereas then there's like nutritional benefits like liver health or your fucking immunity generally being boosted. Those are ones where you don't really notice that until maybe you're on it for a while, and you say you've got two young children in daycare who come home sick as fuck, and then you just don't seem to be getting sick where you used to get sick.
Life-changing. 5 stars. Big fan of Hello Sports, so my viewers are always going to be biased. I actually bought it for my wife. Didn't mention who it was by and just let her see how it went for her. Mum of 3 kids and runs her own busy business while I also work 7 on 7 off away. After 3 days, she was hooked. Improved late in the day fatigue and mood. Come day 7, she had forgot to take her Good Day. Her mother was visiting and said the wrong thing and she snapped. Instantly says, I'm sorry, I haven't had my Good Day. Next thing, the mum-in-law is now tasting it and they're walking around the house like they both just discovered fire and were the only ones to know about it. Good result. Even got some alone time with the added less fatigue. With her, not her mum. That would be weird. But a look into the future, I suppose. So it's out there working its ass off, which is fucking terrific. There are downsides to being the fastest selling multivitamin of all time.
Yeah.
And that's that in the last month in particular, sales have just gone fucking through the roof,
which we love.
Tripled, I think, Tom. So we basically got caught with our pants down a little bit and not enough stock on hand.
Yeah, pants down, cold, little doodles.
It won't happen again. That's a Hello Sport promise. However, we are likely to sell out in the next probably 4 or 5 days, roughly. We will have stock for those with subscriptions.
Yep.
So you will never miss out. If you're a subscriber, you're good. If you are a new subscriber as of when we sell out, or you're a new customer, you won't be able to purchase. Well, you can purchase it, but it won't arrive for about 3 weeks.
Yes. So from here, if you start subscribing, you basically just locking it in so that when it lands, then you're good to go and you're straight back on the train.
So you'll know, Punters and Dribblers, we'll do a bit of a thing on the Instagram when we do a sellout, and you'll notice on the website it'll flick from buy now to pre-order.
Yeah.
So that'll be the difference.
Listen, it's not ideal, but it also really just means that it's been successful beyond our wildest imagination, and you just couldn't have planned for it to go as well so quickly. So we're fucking horny for that. We got more as soon as we financially could, we fucking ordered more. And it's just the way that it goes, the production, again, when you're getting primo quality shit, it takes time.
And it's got to be tested multiple times. There's a bit of a process. We've sped it up as much as we can. It is what it is, punters and dribblers. Bear with us. So we'll let you know when it sells out. But again, it'll be sometime this week. Again, and subscribers,
dude,
you're all good.
It's funny.
You're all good.
We've been looking at it going, geez, we might have a couple of days here where we don't have any. We'll see. But, you know, we should be all right. And then just each day it keeps growing. And there's like, obviously you're fucking pumped for that. But then you go, oh, shit, it might actually be a little bit more. Maybe it's going to be a week where we won't have any. And you're like, oh, fuck, maybe it's going to be 2 weeks. Then on the weekend, Eddie's like, it could sell out within days. I'm like, oh, my God. God, fuck. Yes, great. Thank you all. But also, fuck.
Yep. So subscribers, you're good. We'll let you know when it sells out, and fucking good on you.
Get the fucking pre-order in though. It's clearly good shit. You don't want to miss it. Just become a subscriber and then you're fucking good to go.
BeGoodHealth.com.au, code Dribblers for 20% off.
You are listening to the Hello Sport Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Hello Sport Podcast. Thursday edition. The home of unqualified opinion, unwavering bias, and unprepared hosts. Now, I mean, I don't know about preparation when it comes to the Thursday pod. As Eddie starts texting 3 seconds into the episode.
Yes. I didn't text. I was text.
Oh, you were texted. Okay.
I was texted.
Texted. Look, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good, mate. My knee's a bit banged up. Went for a big run yesterday.
Oh, big?
Yeah, 10Ks.
You did a 10K-er?
Did 10Ks yesterday.
Wow. Yeah. And the knee just sore afterwards.
Sore afterwards, Tom. Now, you could say, Edward, did you stretch properly before this undertaking? And I would have said to you, no.
You just
I still have the mind of a 20-year-old,
yeah,
but the body of a 30-year-old.
You can't stretch your knees, though. That's just pavement pounding.
Well, but look, maybe it's the fucking... the muscles around it. I don't know, Tom. Yeah. I'm not a...
Physio,
no. Look, that may shock the punter and the dribbler, but yeah. I'm not classically trained as a physio.
10Ks. What splits were you knocking out?
4:31.
Oh, fucking hell.
We're at the big lift yesterday. It was just feeling good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is that your best splits?
Is that the quickest I've done to date?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Like,
in but the like, let's say when you're running 5Ks, are you doing less than 4:31 splits?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I did 4:11s the other day.
Jesus, man. What the fuck? That's wild. Are you running every day?
Not every day, no.
I've fucking plateaued.
We're doing like this, this fucking, like, in our slippery box, obviously, the fucking Oztag team of the podcast. We haven't played since fucking whenever. But the November 1 comp starting up.
Right.
We're all pumped. Anyway, someone suggested let's do a 30-day challenge. And so it's like, it's been good. It's kept me going.
Just what? Exercise every day. Is that what? Is Notch part of that?
He's doing something
he's
different.
He's doing some swimming.
He's fucked his knee or his ankle or something. So he's swimming 30 every day. Like,
he's swimming a K every day or something.
Yeah.
I bumped into him and I was doing my swimming down at Clovelly and I'm like, damn, dude, there is just a gulf between us physically. Just in appearance.
He's a big boy, though.
He's humongous.
He's massive, yeah.
I know it doesn't mean anything to anyone else listening, but he's huge, broad, fucking huge chest.
Barrel chested
and fucking cut.
And he's like 6 foot.
Yeah,
five.
He's not 6'5". Six, six, six,
he'd be 6'4".
6'3", 6'4". Yeah, he's tall.
He's tall.
But he's a presence.
Oh, yeah. Notcha.
Hairy, like a man. You know what I mean? Like a man.
Yeah, he's a man.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Oh, he'll love that, mate.
Speaking of, the Thick Ropes County 11 also returning, Eddie, in October.
There you can see it's all happening.
Everything's opening up.
It's opening up.
Nature finds a way.
Nature does find a way. Obviously, the Slippery Bucks were robbed of a Div 2 winter comp premiership. I mean, we're undefeated. We're fucking taking...
until the grand final.
Taking names, taking souls. We didn't play the grand final.
Oh, it got shut down.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now it's business time as we head into the summer.
And I assume that comp, they don't go back and finish it off. They just go to the
fuck
comp.
No, it's abandoned. You're not going to go pick up an old comp from fucking winter.
Mate, I mean, if you want the fucking... if you want your ring, maybe you do. You know what I mean?
They can't even get New South Wales Cup off the ground, let alone fucking...
What's more valuable? Let's be honest.
Well, let's be honest. What is more valuable?
We are due to start again for the Thick Ropes County 11 in the Last Man Standing 2020 competition in Sydney, October 17, I believe. Do your own research. But bottom division, I think we're Div 8.
Start at the bottom.
That's what we always do. Well, actually, we started way too high and we got pumped every single week. So starting at the bottom, where I still think we probably will struggle, feels right.
Well, it feels right for you.
If you come last in Division 8, you are shit. I think we'll get a couple of wins. But we went out for... I mean, we got some new audience since the last time we even fucking played. But we went a season and a half without a win when we first started. And the opposition teams kept telling us that they were, like, setting records. They're like, we've never scored this many runs. We were like, thank you so much. Don't tell us that when we're shaking hands after the game, but whatever.
Well, you can only be honest, can't you?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you don't need to say that. That was like forthcoming with information that really just didn't need to happen. But I'm excited to get back into it. Excited to get back into it. I'll tell you what else. If you're wondering what this is in front of us.
I am actually.
Yeah. Well, I was when I walked in as well. So Steph, my lovely wife, she is just officially on maternity leave today. We're in some serious countdown mode to babies, dude. Like fucking, I only heard this from her yesterday. So like full term pregnancy is between 38 and 40 weeks. And then anything over that is like whatever the fuck more than full term is, where it's like, all right, we've got to start looking at inducing labor and shit. So basically that's next week. She's at full term. So it's like,
she's at 38 weeks next week.
And she's got friends who are like, so she's 37 weeks today. She's got fucking friends that have their baby on 37 weeks. Like I could have another baby in a week. Fucking.
Anyway. You serious?
Yeah.
Fuck me dead.
Yeah. It's mental. Mental.
Are you prepared?
Well, I wasn't as prepared as I am now, which D or Dave, the sweetheart.
Oh, well done.
Bought us a care package. What a lovely boy. And look at this, there's some good shit in here. Obviously, for people that don't have kids, you probably won't care. We got some dummies, got some these cooling teethers. So when the babies are teething, you put these things in the freezer, these jelly things, and then they come out and they can bite on them. Helps teething. Soft touch bottle. Is this from your old man's brand?
Yeah.
So here's his Pigeon?
Yeah, Pigeon.
There you go. So Dio Day's old man, Pigeon. Shout out to Pigeon. Shout out to Papa Bloom.
What a thoughtful package.
He's a thoughtful guy, Dave. Some toothbrushes, liquid cleanser. Now, I didn't know about this, obviously, until I had a kid, but this is like soap for veggies that doesn't like fucking, that's not soap, right? Like you don't want to put soap on.
No, that would be sheer madness.
That's madness. But you soak vegetables like fresh produce and shit in this stuff in the sink.
Mm.
Mwah. Steph loves it. She's going to be very happy.
Do you love
it?
But does Papa love it?
Well, Papa loves it because now I'm like...
Because she loves it.
Well, she loves it. If she's happy, I'm happy.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. Happy wife, happy life, which is so fucking true, dude. If they're happy, you just don't have a fucking care in the world. If they're pissed off, head for the hills.
do you reckon that is there's a counter to that? Are they like, happy husband, happy life?
No.
And if he's pissed off, head for the hills?
No, I don't think so.
Or do they lean into it and go, right, I can't, let's blow.
I think they're down to throw if they have to throw.
Yeah.
More than anything, because...
They love a stink more than anyone.
More than anyone. I hate stinks.
I hate them. I heard something once where, I don't know how true this is, but apparently men love routine. And so if we're fighting, it puts us off. Like we can't fight for more than like 24 hours. Otherwise it's like our routines are all at sea.
Yeah.
Get back to more normality. I just want to cruise here.
Yeah.
Whereas they're like, okay, you want to stink for 3 months? I'll stink.
We'll stink.
Not a problem.
No.
Hold your ground.
I fucking hate it. But I'm also very quick to either, if I fucked up, I prefer to, unless you really believe in what you're fucking in trouble for, like unless you believe in yourself, I am like, I'll hold out for 10 minutes and I'm like, I'll go apologize and just get this thing. I need to get back to normality as quick as possible.
Yeah, back to normality.
I fucking hate being in an argument. Then I guess sometimes when it's like, I'm not doing, like, you know, sometimes you'll get in trouble, like it's not actually on you. Like they're just... fucking, you know, they're in the wrong. And sometimes you got to bite down on the fucking mouthpiece and just get ready for battle, you know? Just go, I'm not budging an inch.
Put the mouth guard in and fucking get to ripping.
Metaphorical mouth guard, obviously, punters and dribblers. Not talking about a legitimate 12-round
although Steph would fucking fight. Probably pump you. She'd probably pump you.
Comfortably. Yeah, she's got that Eastern European fire
fuck
in her belly.
100%. Had the 11 year with Ella yesterday.
I saw that. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
11 years.
Yep.
You're catching me.
Well, I never will. Unless you stop.
Unless she leaves me.
Yeah. Which has happened before.
It has happened before. Let's hope that doesn't happen again.
Be a bit different this time, mate.
Yeah, I think so. It'll be a bit more consequency.
Consequency, sure.
Yeah. What did you do? You guys usually like to go all out for your fucking anniversaries.
Wasn't much we could do, mate.
That's what
given
I mean.
The fucking, given the times, punters and dribblers, we'll do something later in the year.
What did you must have done something. Yeah, though. I saw a little Instagram post.
Yeah, we went for a walk around Manly and then got you can get takeaway meals from a place called Buster. It's like an Italian restaurant down there. And you sort of do it yourself at home, which was nice.
Cooked
it. A couple of Negronis, some rosé.
Were you with the...
Some tiramisu.
Oh, yeah, you love your tiramisu. Or do we have a mate who loves tiramisu more than anyone else?
My mate Nick Mallett loves tiramisu more than anyone. Right. He's called the tiramisu monster. He loves tiramisu. Like when we went to Europe, he'd pound a couple every night. Just fucking couldn't get enough tiramisu. Yeah.
That's an addiction.
Yeah, he's got a tiramisu problem. I don't know if he's curbed that or not, but he certainly at one point in time had a real affinity for tiramisu.
I mean, it's hard to argue.
I love tiramisu. Ella's like, oh, I don't know if I love tiramisu. I'm like, I love tiramisu.
I'd say I'm more with Ella. I don't love it, but I get it.
You get that sponge in there, and the cream, and the fucking cocoa, and the
dude. For me, if there's
and
if
the
there's
coffee
tier one, it's just a cheesecake of any fucking of
yeah.
Any.
But cheesecakes sit on a vast spectrum, I think.
But they sit head and shoulders above anything else.
I don't think so. I would disagree with that.
A good cheesecake is above anything else in existence.
I like cheesecake.
But you don't love cheesecake.
But I don't like...
You love tiramisu.
I love tiramisu.
Which I like tiramisu.
Yeah.
Love cheesecake.
Yeah. I had a cheesecake the other day that wasn't up to cheesecake standard.
But that's... You're going to get that anyway. You're going to get tiramisu that's not up to tiramisu standards.
Yeah,
but the elite of the elite in both class. Elite tiramisu, elite cheesecake. I think cheesecake...
What cheese do they use in cheesecake?
That's a good question. I'm going to say it's probably something like, and I'm only going off this because I feel like I'm guessing, but like...
Well, you are guessing.
Philadelphia cheese or some shit. Yeah.
Philadelphia cheese.
Yeah.
Is that right?
He's right, yeah. It says ingredients, common ingredients, cream cheese, lemon, egg, butter, vanilla sugar, sour cream, and Graham crackers.
There you
Graham
go.
Crackers.
Graham crackers.
Have you made one before?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
I've made a tiramisu before.
You've made a tiramisu?
I have, yeah.
Dude, I think you're the tiramisu monster.
Yeah. We had Italian night once when we lived in Bondi and I made a tiramisu.
A what night?
Italian. Like.
Oh, Italian. I said Atari. I'm like, the video game fucking company?
No.
Yeah, look. How did we get here? I don't know. What I did want to say when we first... that's it. You're 11 years. Did you get a gift?
No.
I get it. See, for now, for me as well... We had a anniversary.
I'm like, I got you a ring fucking 11 months ago.
Yeah.
I've paid my dues.
Yeah, exactly.
In full.
Yeah. But like...
You almost don't get one again.
I'd be happy with that. Just go to dinner. But see, now I've got like two anniversaries. We've got a wedding anniversary.
Which one do you pick?
Well, I haven't had a wedding anniversary yet because we only got...
But like, I was talking about that. Like, do you just abandon the first one? Or just a gentle nod in the morning? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then off you go.
Just a nod. Happy sort of like, you know, real anniversary. But then the wedding one. Because it's like, I've been with Steph for 13 years. Now we're just going back to one. I feel like I've done a little bit more. That's fucking graft. I don't want to just.
Well, you're not going to throw that in the bin, are you?
I'm not just resetting my fucking scores.
What? You can't reset, not after 13 years.
That's a fucking long time to work. And then just for someone to come and go, oh yeah, no, now it's fucking one.
Yeah, we don't count that anymore. It's like playing. Imagine playing 13 fucking years NRL.
They go, oh no, you've changed clubs. Sorry, it's fucking.
That doesn't count.
No, you played one season. Anyway, that's something for everyone to think about at home.
Well, I think about that at home.
Yeah.
Think about it that at home and how, you know, of much of a pickle. Well, it's a pickle for people.
It's
Tom.
A pickle.
It's a pickle for people, and you don't want to be in a pickle. Never.
Is that shit on my shoe, Eddie?
Probably.
I can't smell. Do I smell like poo?
No, you don't. I'm not ruling it out. No, I'm not going to address it.
No, just smell it.
No, I don't.
Just smell it. I need to know.
No.
It's not poo?
No.
Just a bit of mud.
Mud.
Just
run of the mill mud. Tom.
It has been raining.
It has been raining.
Are we in for a rain bender at the moment or not? Like,
well, I would say this.
Some people are saying rain bender, and I'm not sure where the legitimacy of that.
I'd say this, Tom. I'd say this.
What would you say?
The forecast was for big rains yesterday. Woke up, sunny. We got a bit yesterday, but then it fucking cleared and it was sort of all over the shop. Today, they took rain. It's fucking sunny as all get out.
As we were coming here, though, I did see some dark, gloomy, ominous motherfuckers in the distance.
But if I'm, you know, if I'm running an eye over my weather app, Tom, I would like personally to see sun into rain. Don't just give me rain emojis, because then I'm fucking waking up thinking I've got to put a bloody raincoat on.
Yes. I don't own a raincoat.
I own a rain, like a jacket.
Like a weather, windbreaker.
Like, yeah.
I had a walk with
That's also
mate.
Waterproof.
I went for a walk with a mate yesterday and he's like, bring a raincoat. And I'm like, I don't have a fucking raincoat. So I wore a puffer jacket, which soaked. But it looked like the illusion of it being weatherproof. But,
but it wasn't.
It wasn't. I knew that as well going in, but I was like, well, fuck it. This is all I got.
It's like when you go camp. Have you ever been camping, right? And then you put the wet weather thing over the top, and then you realize through the night that it's like it's waterproof to a point.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, if it fucking if there's a light foggy mist that rolls through, your tent won't get wet. There won't be dew on it. But if it pisses down, you're fucked.
Yeah, it leaks in.
Yeah.
And then you're all at sea.
Yeah.
And you're thinking to yourself,
you sold me on a waterproof
tent. Why is this not waterproof? Why do I need to buy like a fucking raincoat for my tent?
Yeah, and a hoochie or whatever.
What's
like
the what's the point of that? Shouldn't it come ready to fucking rock and roll? I'm not the biggest camp guy, punters and dribblers.
No, neither am I.
I don't know what I'm talking about, but I've been to festivals before where I've fucking come back to the tent and it's fucking soaked and I had to sleep in the car. All because I was sold on this tent that was supposed to be waterproof, because why wouldn't it be?
What's the point of
it's got
not
to, surely it's got to be all purpose, all season, all weather. Surely.
Or at least be obviously like
otherwise,
advertising that it's not.
Otherwise I'll fucking sleep outside under the stars. Do you know what I mean?
You may as well.
What's the difference?
There is no difference.
So that pisses me off, Tom.
Yep.
But my raincoat is a little bit of that sort of like, it wouldn't stand up to gale force stuff.
No. Again, it probably would be like a drizzle.
Yeah, it's a drizzle.
Drizzle proof.
It's drizzle proof. It's drizzle proof, but it's not rain.
Punters and Dribblers, we are brought to you by Neds. They are the betting platform of choice here at Hello Sport. Now, you can follow along all of our bets at the In The About Even private group on the Neds app. You can also follow our profiles. As I've been saying, my civilian bets are where I seem to be doing my best work. My About Even bets starting to improve. I can feel myself starting to improve. I did hit two on the weekend.
After back-to-back triple staked losses.
The triple staked losses for unit scoopers have absolutely cut to fucking the Tiger King. I may never recover from this, but the civilian bets is where you can see me getting to my work, and that is on the profiles.
Good for you, Tommy. Ned's best in the business. Come join along. Join our About Even group if you'd like as
you
well.
Wow, Eddie, you're just repeating me now, are you?
I didn't hear you say that.
Where were you?
Pixies.
Where were you, mate?
Pixies.
Full Pixie stuff. So now you're just going to say, you're going to talk about the fucking profiles tab as well? You're going to talk about the About Even group? Yeah?
About Even group.
Yeah, how do you get in there?
That's what I said, code dribblers.
Oh, okay, there you go, good. Yeah. What's this ad for again?
Neds.
Oh, yeah, great point. Glad you're listening. Pixies. Pixie Simps. Shout out to Neds. We love you, Neds. We love you. Go Manly.
Now, you win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Punters and Dribblers, there's 2 days left to be in the chance to play golf. Be in with the chance to play golf at Shorty's with myself and Eddie. Buy a six-pack of Big Day Rosé at hallosport.shop. You will go in the running. We pick two winners from the month of April. But what are we doing month of May? Because we are working our way through the remainder of the most recent vintage. Got a couple left that we want to get rid of before we then turn all of our attention to the end of the year.
Just feeling generous, Tom.
We're feeling generous, and it's sale time.
We just thought, fuck it. If you buy a case and you use the code Manly, you get $50 off the case. If you buy two cases, you get $100 off.
Yep.
You get what I'm trying to say? Go to hallosport.shop. Bang, Rosé on there, code Manly, $50 off a case. Pretty fucking generous if you ask me. But we love the punter and we love the dribbler. And we're just like, let's get this vintage out there to the people that want it most.
Let's get it in the gullets of the nation.
That's right. Gullet up. Proof. Meteorologists need to step the fuck up.
Oh, yeah.
Because for too long they've been mediocre. Mediocre at best.
Mediocre meteorologists.
That's a tongue twister.
That's a twister right there.
Fuck, that's a twister. Meteorologists. Fuck me dead. Both cunts of words. Now.
Thursday pod.
I think to myself, with all the advancements in technology, with all of the, you know, innovations at our fingertips.
We've got rovers.
Weather balloons. Fuck you, we've got rovers on Mars. But like, I feel like, and this is vibe and vibe alone, in the last 20 years, there has been no improvement at all.
In the...
the predicting of weather.
I'd say that's pretty fair. It still seems like a real vibe.
I think it's vibe.
It's a vibe profession where they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to rain, but then suddenly it doesn't. It's like, how haven't you got to a point where you can predict this thing with, like, just absolute...
Especially day of, or, like, day before. People that look at seven-day forecasts, I go, you got rocks in your head, mate. Put your seven-day forecasts away.
Stick it up your
ass. Some people look to 28 days and shit. I go, you just... What are you talking about? They can't predict the weather the next day, let alone a seven-day forecast. Oh, it's raining this weekend. I'm like, yeah, it might rain this weekend, bro. It might be a fucking rip snorter.
Yeah, that's always the way. It's like, rain predicted, no rain.
Shit house.
It is what it is, though. Shout out to the weather people of this great nation. Do your job better, or at least acknowledge that 98% of your job is vibe. And then we're comfortable. We go, look, they feel like it might rain today.
If you come out and you say, listen, I've done a doctorate in vibe, because, you know, if I'm a fucking doctor of meteorology, you're basically a doctor in vibe. Then I'm cool with that.
Well, like, I mean, what about when they do the temperature where they go, the temperature's 29 degrees, feels like it's 33. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
Well,
that's vibe, dude.
Yeah.
That's vibe if ever I've fucking seen it.
Yeah. What feels like?
Yeah, how do you know what fucking 33 feels like?
Yeah. What if I'm running hot? Yeah,
exactly.
What if I'm going for a run? To me, it feels like 40.
It's 40 degrees. You fucking tell me it's 29, but it feels like 36. Does it? Based on what? Are we just going off your body temperature? What's your office like? Is it climate controlled? You got a Fujitsu running? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Is there a light breeze kicking around? Are you near the coast? Are you inland? Are you on concrete? Are you on grass?
Are you in a basement? Are you up top? What's the ventilation like? Where are you taking this from? Where does it feel like 33? In the shade? In the sun? In a bath?
Is this how they do feels like? They
lick the finger,
and just jam it in the air. Now, I know traditionally you get a pretty good gauge on wind direction.
That's
that
more
way.
A wind direction thing, but, I mean, it's all vibe at that point. As soon as you say feels like, vibe. Complete vibe. I check out then.
What does the wetting of the licking, the sucking of the finger do to help you identify wind direction? Does it make your finger more
sensitive? Maybe. Potentially, because maybe you're feeling it dry.
Do you know what I mean?
I completely do. I don't know what that is. That's one of those.
It does help. Or at least it feels like it does. Or is that just like a power band thing?
It's doing nothing. Is it a power balance bracelet for wind direction? Just suck your finger and hold it up.
Well, whichever direction the cool side of your finger is facing, that's the direction the wind is coming from.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
That's why you're here. That's why you're here.
I think it's also worth, obviously, Dave, I thank you again for the and Papa... Papa Bloom for the beautiful pigeon care package. But I think Dave probably deserves a little respect put on his name as well after his golden beak effort.
I think so. I think that's absolutely fair.
He went the big lift.
The golden beaks went off.
Night and Ice.
Yeah, Rugby League's Night and Night. Critical acclaim. Head over to Bloke's YouTube if you want to check that out. It was a great night. A lot of fun had by all. Some incredible award recipients.
Yeah.
But Dior Dave donned his mother's dress. He put on some very sort of elegant gloves.
Yeah. He looked beautiful. Had the hair straightened.
Yeah, had the hair straightened and then came out and shook his little booty all over the fucking set.
Yeah. He made the night.
He made the night.
He tied everything together.
He did. It was, you know, it was like, if Dave wasn't there, it'd be like a tiramisu with no coffee in it. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense.
It wouldn't make sense. Dave was the coffee in our tiramisu that was the award night.
That's right.
He was the cheese in the cheesecake.
Well, there you go.
That could be the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Well, you know, that's what we're here for.
Well, look, you know, we're always here to pump you up, Dave.
Yeah.
But it was a great night.
I was a bit worried going into it, but I've got some good reports back on it and some surprising reports from the punters and dribblers, so... You know,
you're worried about what? About you know, getting all frocked up.
Well, yeah, I don't know, nothing specific, but just nervous of how it'll be received. But I would say surprisingly well
and overwhelming positivity.
Yes, in some cases a bit too much positivity.
Well, I think you certainly had some people.
You got tongues wagging.
Yeah, you got tongues wagging. I think there was, but some people as well, like, you know, feeling things they'd never felt before, certainly like lead in the pencil sort of situation.
Yeah, confusing lead in the pencil.
Did you see the photo, just as Eddie sits here and pounds a bit of red ice vape, the photo that some dribbler put on the punters and dribblers page, Shout out to the Punters and Dribblers page for hitting 10K. Fucking P's and D's in there as well. Love y'all. But it was he took a photo of you handing me the vape or me handing you the vape and then put it, like, layered it with, what's that? Is it in the Sistine Chapel where, like, those two gods are, like, touching each other's fingers on the roof of the fucking...
Yeah.
And so he's put us under there and, like, it on the top and it just actually looked fucking hilarious. I might even try to find that and put it up on the old IG. It was very good. Very good stuff. But the Golden Beaks was fantastic. Tommy Turbo, obviously, capping off what the all-time greatest season.
Well, he actually said it meant more to him winning the Golden Beak than it did winning the Daly Am.
Well, look, I think it put into context the season where it was like, holy shit, I won the Wally in Origin. Holy shit, I won all of the awards for Manly. Holy shit, I won probably the RLPL Player of the Year. Fullback of the Year at the Dallys. Now I've got the Dally. Now I've got the actual Dally around my neck. Least amount of games to ever do it. His average points, Dally M points per game would have seen him rack up 50 Dally M points that he played a full season, which is the most by 15 points, the most of all time by 15 points. Like he got 3 points less than Thurston did in 2005, and Thurston played 22 games. And then he rolls it into a Golden Beak. It's the greatest season of all time. That's also the thing when everyone's comparing fucking Hayne and Barber and shit. It's like, he did it in 15 games. And he got us from last to fourth to a prelim. So no, he didn't make the grand final. But he did it in 15 fucking games.
But it's pretty fucking impressive performance, let's be honest. And everyone craps on about Hayne and shit making the grand final, but they lost. So, you know, he didn't win the grand final.
No.
So does it really matter? Does it really matter, Tom? Grand final upon us, though. It's good stuff.
There's a lot going on.
There's a shitload going on.
Did you see Russ?
Benji reckons he's going to go around again.
Does he? Fuck. If he wins, he better retire.
Well, apparently just the taste of grand final weeks just got him fucking hocked up again.
I can understand that. You know what I mean? You're on 16 years without a taste of it, and then you're back. You're like, why would I want to give this shit up?
Why would I give this
up? You're a long time retired, but do you want to go out as like a fucking... You got a champion... Or you can just go around it again for another season with South.
Finish
like,
fucking fifth or sixth order. You know what I mean? Is like it the same?
An uneventful season with South. If he loses, I mean, who knows? It'd be cool. Did you see that Rusty Crowe's given Isaac Luke...
Bell ringer duties?
But he's called it his 250th game. He's going, I'm pretty sure I saw that in a tweet. He's like, congratulations to Isaac Luke playing his 250th game this weekend. Like,
Is that why he's done it?
No, because he's not playing.
No, I know.
But he's saying, he's giving him the bell because I think probably because he's like a South diehard, he missed out on the grand final.
The way I read it in an article, and Dave can look this up, was more around Rusty being like, you're the bell ringer.
Yes, he is the bell ringer.
Yeah, he called him like the Prince of
Redfern. The Prince of Redfern.
Yeah.
But he's not the official bell ringer for South. Whenever they play the grand final, they ring the bell.
No, I know.
He's bestowed that honour upon Isaac Luke.
Yes.
For this game. And he's calling it his 250th game for the club.
But what I'm trying to say to you, Tom, is he the bell ringer now into perpetuity?
No. No, I don't think so.
That's the way it read to me.
He's the bell ringer forever.
Well, until he passes.
Well, obviously he can't be ringing the bell once he's no longer with us. Or maybe he can.
He can ring it across the void, but like...
But, you know, will anyone hear it?
Not in this dimension.
No, exactly. So, I mean... Sure,
They need a
wormhole of sorts.
Well, they need a bell ringer in this dimension, I think, is where we're getting to.
That's what we're pointing
out. That was my... Look, I've interpreted a fucking shitload for a bloke that didn't read the article. I'll say that.
And I haven't read the article either. I glanced at a tweet.
I glanced at a heading and it's... What I got from it?
Isaac Luke officially...
Isaac Luke ringing the bell into perpetuity. That's what I got from it.
Do you reckon the majority of people's opinions these days across the board, across every fucking topic, are glancing at headlines now? Like, no one reads articles, surely.
I read, unless I've bought the paper, I don't read many articles online.
No.
Unless the headline's really taken me.
And then usually you get in and you've been woolpulled.
Yeah, you've been completely and utterly
woolpulled. So it's like, why the fuck would I click on this article?
Well, that's half the reason. A, I don't want to be hoodwinked. But B, it's funny then that I'm fucking gleaning so much from a headline I know is clearly bullshit.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Because that's sort of what you have to do because you're like, it's either behind a paywall I'm not prepared to pay for.
How many times have you said, this year alone. Oh, did you hear about thing? Oh, I didn't read the article, but I saw a headline.
90% of the times I remark about anything at all, it is, I didn't read it, but like, Dave, can you fucking...
Because
I think I saw this. Can you look into it? I do find when it comes to at least sports journalism, I read cricket articles.
Yeah, so do I.
I don't read rugby league articles.
That's a good
anymore.
Point.
Yep. I love reading cricket articles. There's nothing because I love more.
Because they're jam-packed with stats.
And that's what gets my analysis from like, you know.
Like the, Malcolm Knox
Malcolm Knox is a fucking, I like Malcolm's cricket writing.
Yeah, who's the Australian guy?
Crash? Craddock?
No, he's not Australian.
He's telly, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's
really good. Writes books.
Not Gideon.
Gideon Haig? Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a few.
I like Gideon.
Cricket journos are probably the biggest fart sniffers in the world,
but they're great writers.
But they're phenomenal.
But they're great writers. That's the difference between the rugby league writer and the cricket writer. The rugby league writer is like...
The rugby league writer is like New Idea, men's, women's.
Shit. Really trashy shit with a really trashy writing style. And it's like, this is grade three stuff, but I'm reading it
because it's phenomenal.
It's salacious as fuck. Whereas the cricket writer is like poetry. It's elegant.
It is. It's beautifully like written. It's like Shakespearean.
Because it's not about, old mate tried to put his dick in his teammate's player's wife.
He was seen.
Or they come out and they play tough footy. Or Ivan Cleary's fucking getting bitched by Wayne.
He was seen at a five-star restaurant swiping his cock across plate, like, you know, people's plates.
This cricket writing's more about like the history of the game, the nuance of it, the elegance.
The tactics.
The tactics and shit. Yeah. You know, five days of test cricket, is the captain getting it right? All that shit.
And you've got like former test captains, you've got Warnie, you've got these journos, you've got like so much shit to consume, and it's like, I am so horny for the summer of cricket. It's just fucking fantastic. Like,
I think, well, look, I know I sort of brushed you aside in terms of like, is it going to go ahead? But, and this again is going only off Kevin Peterson's fucking, of South African played for England fame, who was saying that he if they have to come down here in quarantine, like, fuck that.
Yeah, dude, it's a problem.
So when are they bringing in the 7-day quarantine thing? Home quarantine?
Soonish. I think it's in October or November, because my sister's meant to be coming back from New York for a bit to sort of meet new baby.
Mm.
And she's been fucking like peppering us like, oh, it's fucked. She's like, because she's like, if I've got a quarantine in a fucking hotel, I'm not doing it. It's like $3,000. It's like, fuck that.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah. So they are really looking at it. I just think, fucking, if we're all vaccinated and shit, why wouldn't you?
Well, it depends when they'll need to be down here pretty soon.
You'd think so, wouldn't
they? They'll need to be down here to start of November.
Well, I guess they would.
You'd need a month to acclimatise. You got to play the A side. You got to play fucking, you got to get your eye in, Tom.
Yes, but they could be I agree.
You don't
want
to jump off the plane and start playing on Aussie pitches.
Well, you'd be in a big fucking.
You'd be in a big fucking
world
trouble.
Of hurt. But I mean, you know, because of the unprecedented nature of the times, maybe you just have to jam pack your preparation a little bit.
Possibly. I wonder if that's why they've moved the test. The first test to...
It could be. It could be as like a fuck, you know, we're going to be cut. Well, but didn't they move that before our second outbreak anyway?
I can't remember.
I think they did.
I still think that was more to do with us than COVID.
Yeah, I think that it was more you and I just calling for it.
And call for it we did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the journalistic approach between the sports is worlds apart.
Both wonderful. But one is Men's Women's Weekly and one's almost like 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
One's like an international bestseller writer, sort of, you know.
Did you see some dribbler in Punters and Dribblers put up like every time fucking Andrew Johns has been wrong this year in his predictions? So often.
Really?
Yeah, so often. And like he's come out today being like, what an idiot I am, because he basically said that South without Latrella go out in straight sets.
Oh, yeah.
And
now he's picking
saying,
them.
Now we say they'll win the comp. Like even the great Joey Johns, who... He's one of the, you know, he's the greatest player of all time and a hell of an analyst. Can't predict for shit.
No, it's. I mean, they should really be looking at us.
Oh, fuck yeah. Seriously, with the units we've scooped
this year. With the units we've scooped on about even, we're fucking on fire.
Like, and that's the thing about NRL. Apparently it is the hardest game to sort of get a read on, and this is Rain Man's words, not ours, in the world. Impossible to model.
That's a lot to do with the shorter amount of time, though, isn't it?
And then when you've got the analysts who don't know what the fuck's going on. Like, I was listening on the radio today, though. I think it was fucking Triple M or someone. They had a tipping comp. Phil Gould, who knows arguably more about rugby league than anyone you could fucking poke a stick at, he came dead last in the tipping comp. Dead last.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's been a tough season to pick. But
yes and no.
Well, actually, that's
true. It's actually been easier.
It got to a point where it became very easy.
It was like 13 plus fucking, who's playing? Shit team or good team? Good team? No, win 13 plus. Like every week. Yeah. It's actually been easier than ever because you haven't had those random upsets.
Yeah, really. That's true. You had a couple. You've had a couple of random upsets.
Not really.
No. Well, Manly to Newcastle.
Look, how many games did fucking Storm lose this year in the regular season? Two.
And they were at the start.
Panthers lost three. Rabbitohs lost three. Like, pretty fucking predictable from that perspective.
That's true. The lower games, though.
Obviously, the dog shit at the bottom of the table where you've got absolute rubbish playing, absolute rubbish. Like, yeah, sure, it's been a little bit difficult, but it hasn't. I just still don't think it's been impossible.
No.
Not from a point of view where Joey Johns has got a fucking post dedicated to him about how many times he was wrong this year. Dio, I might try find that.
Yeah, try find that. Can we get it on the TV?
Yeah, I'll have a look.
And then Phil Gould coming dead last. It's interesting. It does. It illuminates how hard rugby league is to pick.
Matty Johns said on his thing with Kronk the other day that he thinks Isaiah Yeo is the most intelligent player in the competition.
Smarter than Tommy.
Than anyone. He says he's the most intelligent player in the competition. And he says if Souths can shut him down, then they win.
And what's he basing that on? Or was that just a headline?
No. That wasn't a headline. It was a grab. From their show, but it was something around he picked a play in the game against Melbourne where he basically touched the ball four consecutive tackles where it was like he was either a link man or he was direct, like he was dictating the fucking where the play went, and I think did they end up scoring on the end of the play? I don't know, but it was just something where it was like the way he involves himself and the way that he the way he can either, he was choosing whether to get into an arm wrestle with Melbourne, like, so whether it was just going fucking through the middle and barging, or then it was like, you know what, let's now push it a bit wider and go to our, which you'd think was a playmaker's fucking thing, but I mean, like, I guess the 13 does play the ball a lot more. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. There's not much else I can give to it because I'm not an analyst, I'm a dribbler.
Yeah, so here's the first one. Benji is the modern day Michelangelo, but it won't be enough against the Raiders. I think they won by fucking 30 points or 40 points. I think he scored a heap of tries.
So this is the Joey, every time Joey got it wrong.
Yeah.
And has a dribbler gone through and found all of these?
Yes.
Holy shit. No days off for the dribbler.
No days off for the dribbler.
I also think it's worth shouting out, I don't know the guy's name, but whoever did the one that was, he made the edit of the Beer Soon shirts and put Nose Beer Soon and put fucking Munster cheese and.
Did you see something as well? I saw this in Punters and Dribblers earlier. Have a fucking listen to this. This is genius stuff. Hopefully it's in here. A
lot of microwave dinners going on in the off season.
So Angus Bowen, shout out, bro. I said, is this the smartest piece of rugby league players union negotiation since the 40-hour working week? And this, he's taking a grab. There's no drug testing at this time of year under the RLPA agreement. So they've basically negotiated that you can't test players at this time of year because they know the players rip and tear.
Really? Did they really?
Yeah.
That's fucking insane. I think it's reasonable.
I think it's fucking reasonable.
But are they saying just for like illicit or you can't test them for fucking...
Oh, that'd be illicit for sure. No. Asada and shit would be able to test them whenever they want.
Because haven't they also, Dave, aren't they now trying to bring in hair follicle testing?
Yeah, I read that, yeah.
Because of the microwave dinner situation?
Yeah, but that would be in season.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't think...
You can't be testing hair follicles post-season, can you? That's fucking
insane. Well, not under the RLPA agreement, Tom.
Because the thing is, with with hair follicle testing, and it says somewhere here, let me just get the quote, but like, it can detect like, you know, drugs that like are essentially 3 months old with hair follicle tests. So even if they're testing them like near before the start of the season.
What? Rack will turn up 3 months later. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I read somewhere.
Dude, there's going to be so many players coming back to preseason smooth as fuck. Just moose their entire head and eyebrows.
Go the fucking Ben Cousins route. Yeah.
Shave off the eyebrows, the fucking eyelashes.
Wasn't that a genius move by a fucking wily Ben Cousins?
It just looks like an egg.
Yeah, he just goes, righto, test me. Yeah. Try to get a hair off this body, mate. He came in bald.
Try find a hair. Good luck.
Good luck.
No, I haven't been doing drugs. But you're smooth as an egg, Ben. Well, fuck. It's a new fashion statement.
Well, you know what? I wasn't in the mood for eyebrows today.
Sorry.
You would have been wiping sweat out of his fucking eyes.
No, I've got alopecia. Are you sure? I can see hair growing back. Nah, dude. I've got alopecia in the off season. So this is another one from Joey. South Sydney destined for straight sets finals exit. Well done. I admit I got it horribly wrong about Latrell Mitchell. Like many, I was adamant Mitchell wasn't a fullback. As South take on Brisbane in Thursday night football, I admit I got it wrong. April. Without question, the Storm will be their grand final day. Big game club. Been there before. Their defence is almost impossible to break down, especially on a dewy night game with a slippery ball. And their attack has evolved as this season's gone on.
Well, in fairness to him, it wasn't played at night.
No. South Sydney Desmond Straits. That's seen it. John's fears star Storm utility Nico Hines won't make Melbourne 17 in final. John says it's too early for Slater, Thurston and Smith to coach Maroons. He's not a fullback. Andrew Johns believes Latrell won't excel in number one jersey for South.
The last one.
Manly can reach the grand final, but Penrith can't. The week off is a huge advantage for the Rabbitohs and the Storm. The Seagulls can overcome it, but the battered Panthers are in trouble. Look, so Joey's been on fire this year. Joey's been on fire, but when you're the GOAT, when you're the greatest player of all time, people don't tend to mind as much.
No.
You'll get paid out for it, sure.
Listen, it's opinion, but his is qualified opinion.
Yes.
Whereas ours is unqualified, so.
And we're usually more correct.
We usually seem to get it right.
Isn't that funny?
Make of that what you will.
Make of that what you will, punters and dribblers. But so who do you reckon this weekend, honestly? I think Penrith.
I think Penrith.
Is Dylan Edwards playing?
I think he has to pass one fitness test. But did you see that stat that no team has lost consecutive grand finals since the Dragons in 92?
Yeah, but that's not true because the Roosters lost 2003 and 2004.
Oh, yeah, sorry, since then. Yeah, no one's lost since then.
I saw that though as well.
They did win 2002.
Yeah. Yes, but they lost consecutive. Yeah.
But no team has lost two since then.
Yes. I think Penrith will win it, but and I don't care. I think both have great storylines. But I would also like South to win. I think there's more cool storylines for South. But it's a good spot for like a dribbler who's not a fan of either team because you can just sit back and like any outcome's pretty good. Like as in you can just sort of enjoy it.
Yeah. We don't have to fucking sit through another Storm premiership.
Did you watch the SAS show, don't you?
Yeah.
Did you watch it last night?
Yeah, fucking hell.
Did you see Sam Burgess talking about how they thought he had fucking multiple sclerosis?
Yeah.
That was fucking hectic.
Yeah, it was.
And now he's got to get like tested every 6 months or something to check on his brain. He's like, yeah, dude, I'm pretty sure I got some fucking brain damage.
Yeah, because there was white dots and shit on his brain. And they're like, well, this could develop into MS.
They said it had nothing to do with concussion either. Just that it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't he say that he thinks it's linked?
No, I think he said it's not linked. But they were checking for concussion shit. Like they were checking his brain for like effects of concussion because I think maybe he'd had a concussion in the game.
Yeah.
And then they were like, they called him and were like, dude, we think you might have multiple sclerosis. And then he went in and they're like, okay, you don't have it. But these dots.
Yes.
Could be. That's fucking terrifying, dude.
Mate, I tell you, you watched last night?
I don't watch it. I haven't. I've only started if I remember, I'll have a look because I know you are obsessed with it.
Well, I mean, I don't watch as much as I'd like to. We've got fucking about even on, so I miss the Tuesdays. Some Mondays I catch.
You don't record it?
Well, I could go back, but I haven't. I just haven't.
Yeah.
But I've watched enough of it.
Oh, you know what? I'm glad you haven't gone back to watch it.
last night they had to carry 70 kilo
sandbags.
Sandbags, 10 Ks. And like Yana Pittman's fucking, she rips, bro.
She's an athlete.
fucking oath she is. But like Heath Shaw, the AFL player, and Sam Burgess were paired together. I'm like, that is such an advantage.
I know. You just thought they were like
3Ks behind because they couldn't work out how to wrap their fucking the poles up and shit.
What they have in physical prowess, they lack in intelligence.
Yeah.
So their ability to build a fucking build a thing to carry the sandbags. And
one of this chick, one of the chicks asked Sam Burgess, she's like the producer, she's like, do you think you can like think quickly, like think on your feet? And he pauses for ages. Yeah, and he goes,
that's right.
And he goes, clearly not.
Yeah, he seems to be coming off quite well in that.
He's coming off really well. It's a PR masterstroke, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone's denying that he's like a fucking lovely bloke and shit. He's just a bit of a rat. He's a rat bag past.
Yeah, he's a piglet with some rat, and he's prone to rat baggery, but not necessarily like a bad human. I also think that everyone has the ability to evolve, grow, change. You know, like you look at someone like Mike Tyson, who is obviously
great example.
He went to fucking prison for rape, which is disgraceful. And in modern times, you would never make a comeback from that. He's still fucking denies it to this day. Not that that matters. He was fucking found guilty. I'm not making any justifications. But when you talk about the ability for someone to grow and change, he seems like an evolved human being compared to the psychopath that he was as a young child or as a young man.
100%. Like in interviews you listen to him, he's like, he seems like a different person.
Yeah.
Like chilled out a lot.
I saw him
more perspective.
I saw him on a fucking podcast, that Logan Paul Impulsive podcast, which I don't actually watch, but I saw a clip of it. Forgive my block nose. You know what the deal is. And he grabbed a handful of magic mushrooms. And I'm talking a fucking hero dose. Just grabbed a handful of them off whoever the fuck was talking to him and just went, oh. And just ate the whole thing. And I was like,
who did that?
Mike Tyson.
When?
On the fucking podcast, on the Impulsive podcast. He goes, it's all natural. It's all fungus. That's why we all are. We're all fungus. And just starts fucking chewing it.
Are you serious?
No water, no nothing. Just dry. And he's like picking it out of his teeth. The guy's like, can you have some water, dude? It's all in your teeth. He's like, I'm not done.
Oh my God. Iron Mike.
Yeah. They're like, are you sure you can do that? He's like, I used to do coke. It's like,
have you seen those photos of his, like him at parties and shit walking around?
And he's got coke all over his nose. And he's got
coke all over his face, bro. Not even over his nose. It's fucking everywhere.
Have you heard that story about Johnny Knoxville when he was with Matty Johns in Australia?
No.
When he's what?
When he was in Australia and he was on the Matty Johns show or like whatever show it was with Matty Johns. I heard it, I think, on Tom Cashman's podcast, who's a comedian who used to be a writer on Matty Johns. And he was saying that.
What's the podcast called?
I think it's called The Good Stuff.
Yeah.
And basically he was saying like him and Maddie, Johnny Knoxville and Maddie were in the car together going somewhere and they got pulled over by cops just like routinely or something. And Johnny's like, oh shit, like I've got some pills on me now. And he kind of just looks around and just takes them.
Johnny, fucking wild.
That wouldn't make sense. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Those guys are wild motherfuckers. Fucking or at least they were. I think they've all like, a lot of them are now like recovering drug addicts or have died. So
yeah. I'm looking forward to the new Jackass though.
Yeah, same, dude. I can't wait for that.
Bam Margera is...
He's gone. He's off the reservation. He's an alcoholic. I feel sorry for him, but like...
It's tough to watch.
Yeah, it is, because he's fucking...
Because they scrapped him for the show because he kept fucking...
They just said like in his contract, you can't be getting fucked up. Like you got to be sober. And then he's not. And then he comes out just trying to bash it. Like, you know, you... If there was any like... if you had any sort of... unsurety, that's not the word, but like about
reservation
about whether they were fair in their reasoning for like kicking him off the show, if just follow him on Instagram and you go, oh okay, I see what's going on.
He goes on serious rants and like those fucking notes and shit he writes, it's like it's dark.
It's dark as fuck. Oh, this was funny.
Yeah,
Hogan put up a fucking post on his Twitter. Damn, Bam, I wish you were still with us. I sure would love to hang out again, my brother. Miss you. Bam, I'm alive, brother, but miss you too.
Has he got him mixed up with Ryan Dunn?
I guess so. That's either a phenomenally fake tweet.
No, it was real. There was like articles.
Yeah, I remember seeing it as well. Yeah. Fuck, Hogan still had some guns in that photo.
Fuck, he's got some pipes on him.
That's
there.
Old, but still.
Yeah, like, well, look at Bam in the photo, dude. He's like,
his arms.
That's what you forget about how young those jackass guys were when they like ascended to fucking
humongous heights. Yeah,
humongous heights. Like Bam was like 22, 23.
Was he?
Yeah, Knoxville was like 27. 20, no. Yeah. They were young, bro. Look that up. How old's Bam? And then when was Jackass? 2000?
Yeah, well, just look up how old they were when it started, yeah. But, and they were part of, like, what's crazy about Jackass is that they are, like, quite culturally significant. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just a dumb reality show.
No.
It's like they were a culturally significant thing where it was, like, this generation of young kids who don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Doing this crazy shit, like they were the first sort of people that anyone ever like doing what they did. Like there was nothing else ever like it, really, and it completely took the world by storm. I remember being a kid, sneaking out of my bed. There was like in Barrel, my sister's room, but she'd like gone away. She might have finished school, or she was she wasn't living in the house, but she had a TV in her room, and so I would get up at night and I'd sneak into her room and then close the door. And flick on her TV and like I knew Jackass was on like fucking eight, you know, whatever channel at night, channel 7 at like 10 or 11 at night, and I'd watch it like, and you'd just be like, this is the funniest fucking shit I've ever seen in my life. Like a genius idea. And now they're like fucking, you see them now, you're like, dude, they are old men. Yeah. Johnny Knoxville's like 50.
How old were they?
Yeah, though? So Johnny Knoxville is 50 this year.
Bruh.
So he was 30.
Yeah, no,
Jack, 29.
Yeah. 29, yeah. Jackass said in 2000, he was 29. Ryan Dunn was 23. Bam was 21.
What?
And Steve-O was 26.
Wow.
And you're the kings of the world, man.
Kings of the world, bro.
Everywhere you go, everyone knows you. Everyone wants to party. Like Brad Pitt was doing shit with him. Remember when they kidnapped Brad Pitt off the street?
Oh, yes. Jesus Christ.
That's like, and Brad Pitt was one of the ones where they're in monkey suits in LA, like fucking running around. Yeah, like Brad Pitt was one of them.
Yeah.
Like that's how big these fuckers were. Like the biggest stars on the planet wanted to do shit with them. Like everyone wanted to hang out with these guys.
It's a fucking, it's Johnny Knoxville's brainchild, isn't it?
I don't know, actually.
Where did they find Bam and Steve-O and shit?
No, well, so like Bam was doing stuff already with his crew that were called CKY, Camp Kill Yourself, I think.
Yeah.
And that was out wherever he lived. So there was like little small pockets little of them pockets, doing this sort of shit. And then there was a skate magazine. Like it was sort of coming together of these, of like worlds. They found Steve-O. He was like a clown or some shit.
Really?
He was a clown. The first thing he ever did on camera was that goldfish where he swallowed the goldfish and then he vomited it back up and it was alive. But for the longest time, you're going, that goldfish isn't coming back up. And he had to keep sculling water and then like throwing it back up into the thing. For anyone,
oh my god!
If you haven't watched all the Jackass, you are
got to go back.
You got to go back. It is the fucking best, dude.
That's why I'm so pumped for this new show. Yeah. Jarch was telling me that apparently, like, they're all going, this is better than
dude.
The
have
old
you seen
stuff.
The one about the guy with the shark? So they've got some new cast members, obviously, because some have died, some are old. It's like you need some young, fresh blood to do some shit.
Yeah.
Dude,
well, they're 50 years
they're
old.
Old as fuck. Dude, there's one, and there's a video of it on YouTube.
Mm.
So they've got this new guy called Poopy.
Poopy.
They go out to somewhere in the water where there's Mako sharks, and they chum up the water so these sharks are all fucking hungry as shit.
Yeah.
And they're dragging Poopy on a wakeboard across a ramp, and he's meant to hit this ramp and jump this thing of swarming Makos. They're not going quick enough, and he lands in the fucking thing of Makos and it bites his fucking hand, and his hand is severed, his hand is dangling off, and he has to get, like, he's lucky it only bit his arm, but it bites his arm and it's thrashing it, and you can see it, and they're all like, holy shit, Poopy's dead.
Oh my, Poopy.
Poopy gets dragged out of the water.
How old's Poopy?
Dude, he's in like his 30s probably.
Yeah.
Poopy gets dragged out of the water.
Fuck, I've got the video. Do you want to watch it?
I don't. It's fucking gross. Do you want to watch it?
Yeah, put it on.
But try just get to the point where it happens. And he's got to have multiple surgeries and fucking his hand is like fucked. Like it's actually, it's not like a recovery. His hand's fucked.
Oh, his hand's done now.
It's like it's still there, but it's like.
It's not. It's a shadow of itself.
It's not what the hand used to be.
Yeah.
Should we get headphones, Dave, so we can hear?
If you want.
Or do we just want to see this video? Yeah, just see this bit.
Okay. I'll skip to it.
Oh, Poopy's going way too slow. Poopy!
Bruh. Look at this. Oh! Dude, that's his hand hanging off.
Oh!
Look at these psychos jumping off the water into the water for him.
Holy shit. Oh my God.
Yeah. Enough.
That'll do.
Yeah, I don't want to see any more.
That'll do. Is this for the new movie?
Yeah,
oh my God.
Yes.
When's it come out, Dave?
Oh, look.
I'm pumped.
Yeah, dude, I can't wait. But like, that's
fucked up.
Dude,
he's going so slow. That's a big jump. They've set him up for failure there. It's like they've given him like a 10-meter runner.
The reality is you can't be going quick enough. There is no speed that's too quick for Poopy there.
But if it is, it's like he needs 500 meters of fucking
But what I
winder.
Mean is, what I'm saying is, you can definitely go too slow in that situation. I don't care if you overshoot the landing, Poopy. Just make sure you don't land in the sharks. Yeah. So if I'm Poopy, I'm going...
Oh, you're saying you can't go too quick.
There's no too quick. Like, yeah. fucking... Yeah. Pedal to the metal, please.
Yeah.
I don't want to fall into the Mako shark pit.
Yeah. That's madness.
So February 4, 2022, they've got the list of guest appearances, which is pretty sick. Eric Andre, Tori Belleci, who was the dude from Mythbusters, Tony Hawk, Matt Hoffman, BMX rider.
Yep.
Yeah.
Someone, Aaron.
Matt Hoffman had his own game.
Yeah, dude, he was the king.
He was the king.
Who was the other one that, I think he might have killed himself. There was Matt Hoffman and Matt Sarah? Can you Google, like, there was another gun BMX rider. There's Matt Hoffman. Just go, get, like, BMX rider dies or, like, BMX
Dave,
legend.
Dave Mirra.
Anyway, who else?
Aaron Homoki, some skateboarder. Francis Ngannou. Machine Gun Kelly.
Francis Ngannou is definitely punching someone.
Yeah, 100%.
Tyler, the Creator. Danielle O'Toole, Rob Dyrdek, Chris Raab, and the Dudesons.
Apparently the Dudesons are still going fucking Sweden or wherever
they're
from.
But aren't they just like rocking up to schools and shit? Like, hey, where are the Dudesons? Where are the guys that like jump in the snow? You know,
they've
like
got
just...
their own theme park.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, I like that.
They're like, you know.
Killing it?
Well, like, I think they're just like part of the fucking
they're like national
furniture.
Heroes sort of
national
things.
Heroes,
Can
yeah.
you, it, what's the Dudesons theme park? That's like a smart... Pivot,
yeah, it is. Yeah. Because
they were cool as well, dude. MTV was so good.
The MTV in the early 2000s, we've talked about
it.
Before,
I know we have, but like it
shit.
Was just so good. Now
look, he's
like,
old as fuck too.
Yeah, he is. He looks old as shit. Just like Ravi Yorka.
Do we want to watch this one?
How long is it? I don't really. I just want to see what it's.
2 minutes.
Oh, 2 minutes. All right. Oh, an activity park.
Yeah, I think it's like for kids and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is less than
that's
what I
lame.
Expected. That's as lame as it gets.
It's fucking Sky Zone.
Yeah, yeah. It's Sky Zone.
But
it's,
again, I mean, you know, get money.
Sure. I think we've seen enough.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, cool. Trampolines and shit. Crazy.
But, and then they had all the spin-off shows.
Bro, Wild Boys.
Yeah.
Wild Boys, an all-time show.
What was Bam's cool
Viva
show?
La Bam. Viva La Bam. That was great as well. They had some that weren't good.
Steve-O
like,
had his own show.
Oh, he had Dr. Steve-O. That was weird. But he had Wild Boys. Like, that was the main one. Wild Boys was fucking awesome.
Wasn't there a show called Steve-O as well?
I don't know. He's got a podcast now, but...
Wild Boys was sick.
Wild Boys was as good as anything. Like,
Viva La Bam was fucking...
Viva La Bam was fucking hilarious.
I think Viva La Bam went for more series than even Jackass did.
It might have. Viva La Bam was hectic. Viva La Bam was a fucking great show as well. And then like, but again, it spawned all these fucking shows like Robin Big. Do you remember that with Rob Dyrdek and Big Black, who was like his security guard?
Oh, yeah.
They just lived together and did all this weird shit. And then it turned into Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory, which was fucking good.
There was Nitro Circus as well.
Nitro Circus
was good. Yeah. That was like Jackass, but all of the people doing it were like professionals. They didn't want to hurt themselves as much, it would seem.
I feel like Nitro Circus was born out of like that era, but it was also born out of, what was that motorcycle?
Travis Pastrana.
Yeah, but there was a motorcycle. They used to do tricks and backflips and shit and, like, well, travel around.
Travis Pastrana. Oh, the Krusty Demons.
Yeah. Krusty Demons. Yeah.
Krusty Demons came to Dubbo once, dude, and I went.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was hilarious.
I mean, it was just them doing, like, backflips and crazy shit.
Yeah.
Now it's Nitro Circus. But Krusty Demons, I think, is still a thing.
Is it?
Yeah, I met an Aussie dude who was on Krusty Demons once. I can't remember his name.
Krusty Demons. That's exactly who it was. Yeah,
Surprised they don't have their own energy drink or some shit.
There was a video game. There was a Krusty Demons video.
Really?
In 2006.
Mate, back then, they used to make video games for all the extreme sports all the time.
Yeah.
Like little spin-offs. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't think they make them anymore, really.
The story revolves around the Krusty Demons who die in an accident at the start of the game, but are brought back to life by the devil.
Throwing shit at the wall, trying to let's see if this hits. I just saw as well when I was on the old can that YouTube and Facebook have now banned all anti-vax. Like, they're going to de-platform people for any anti-vax rhetoric and shit like that. How does that make you feel? Give me some vape.
Well, it's one of those. It's a tricky one, mate.
It is.
It's a fucking tricky one. Because people know less than they think they do. And just because you've read a couple of articles doesn't mean that you're qualified to have an opinion, which is why it's like, it is tricky. Like, yeah, it's not, you're curtailing freedom of speech, sure. But
you're also, I would ask,
some people look for influence. Like if someone speaks to them and their information resonates with people.
Well, it's like confirmation bias. You're looking for people to confirm the thing that you think. But
100%.
I would be interested to know, like, who at these tech platforms is the medical expert determining what is considered anti-vax and what isn't, and, like, where the science is incorrect and where it isn't.
Well, if they're doing their job properly, they would need...
There's no way they're doing their job properly.
No, but I'm saying if they were to, they would need, like...
A professional fucking epidemiologist there.
They would need someone, like, a third party.
Yeah. And the thing is, and I only know just off the fucking few posts that we have, like, taken down for shit every once in a while, where you're like, well, no one's looking at this, are they? This is like a computer algorithm that goes like, oh, 100%. This is hate speech, or we called someone a POM on a post and we get called for hate speech.
We can't go live anymore.
No, we can't go live.
Which is madness.
It's fucking madness.
You think that, like, that based on the fact that we can't go live, presumably off the back of that hate speech post that got taken down because we called someone a POM, which is... fucking prisoner of Mother England. I think we're POMs technically.
Yes.
But we just gave the word back.
But it's also not a fucking term of hate speech.
But it's not. But what I'm trying to say is they obviously see us as a threat, and if we go live, then, you know, we might be holding some sort of hate rally.
Yeah. That to me is like, okay, so these tech giants aren't exactly equipped to accurately...
The audience is too big. Like, they're talking about billions of people.
That's the thing. And then, like, and even when I queried it with them, I go, I'd like a review of this, please. And they go, no, it's been upheld. I'm like, okay, well, no one reviewed it then, did they? Because you answered me. You reviewed it in, like, fucking half an hour.
It wasn't reviewed.
Of course it wasn't fucking reviewed.
But so many things would get flagged by their automation that there wouldn't be enough people to manually review things.
That's the problem then with, I think, having a blanket censorship of... fucking anti-vax rhetoric as the term, like, because where does anti-vax end and begin? Because obviously we know what anti-vax is, which is like the vaccine's fake, fucking get microchipped, all that crazy shit. But then there's someone talking about, you know, maybe just like why they haven't taken the vaccine, or, you know, you've got your Rogan ivermectin shit where he's like, this is something that I take that's helped. Like, this, it sort of leaves no room for someone to talk about something that may also work.
Yeah.
If there is something out there that also works. I'm not saying there is.
I think that...
double vaxxed.
Yeah. I think that the vaccine one's a funny one because, like, if you go and read, just as an example, go and read the fucking, like, the biology, the chemical makeup of the fucking vaccines, you have got to have studied... medicines
to get it
for fucking 10 years just to read it.
Yeah.
Right, to read just, the ingredients in toothpaste you need to find.
Just exactly. Like, you know, and so the anti-vax one for me is like, there's so many cunts talking about shit when they clearly don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Yeah. The vaccines have been approved all around the globe by independent bodies, like, to infer, like, Australia, for example, we were fucking good, mate. We were chilling. There was no need for us, if there was any risk at all, to fucking... approve these vaccines if they were dangerous in any sense when there was no cases, right? That's why they fucking, that's why with AstraZeneca, they were like, don't take it. Like, they were as precautious as they could be, yeah. Right? But then cunts coming out fucking talking about vaccines, oh, it's bullshit and all that. I'm like, so the vaccine one's hard for me to get on board, but seeing how they just, they'll use that as like an excuse to fucking, you know, curtail free speech, and then they apply it to other
areas. To other things, right? Yeah.
And that's like, what's scary.
That's the scary thing where you go,
because well, what's next?
Yeah, what's next? And then once it's all sorted, do they walk back their fucking... No, they never walk back.
Nothing's ever walked back.
They never go, okay, we just put this in place for this thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, who knows?
Well, that's why they want to break down. That's why they're like, in America at least, they're very interested in like breaking up these companies because they're too big and powerful.
Yeah.
They literally, like, they control fucking everything.
Everything.
And, like, for example, Instagram, like... There was something the other day where Ella's account, like there was some security thing. And so they weren't answering the question correctly and the codes were going to Steph's phone and Steph was not available. Like Ella couldn't get onto Steph. But anyway, they ended up taking her fucking Instagram down.
Oh,
and
really?
When you look it up online, if it's deleted, if someone hacks in and deletes your account, you can't get it back. Even if it was like you had fucking, for example, 1 million followers and it was your whole business. They're just like, yeah.
You can't at all?
No, that's the way it reads online. Like, there is no, they create these things and then people have to buy into them to be relevant, you know, in the modern age.
Well, yeah, they become like a real cornerstone of a business.
Yeah, exactly. But then if it fucks up, they just go, stiff shit, you can't talk to anyone, you can't get onto anyone, you can't rectify the situation.
It's impossible to get onto anyone.
It's like if someone fucking rocked up, like you had a store and you sold fucking belt buckles and someone just came up and burnt your store down and there was like nothing you could do about it. There was no insurance, there was no fucking like, you know, criminal prosecution of the person
like
that did that.
Like, you imagine being able to insure like social platforms.
But you can't.
Shit. No, I know, but like that's
it's fucking crazy. Like, look at Alex Jones. Like, yeah, he said some fucked up shit. Sure. But there's like, there is a little bit of truth woven into some of the stuff
he was calling
says.
Epstein fucking years ago.
Exactly. For example.
We're not Alex Jones.
I'm not Alex Jones fan. I'm just using him as an example. He was deplatformed a long time ago. And now he's fucked, technically.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if he is still fucked. Like, there are obviously ways you can still do it. For someone like him that's big enough, like, I think he can just build your own website. Or something.
He might be a bad. Like, he might be a bad example, but
no. But it's still no. It's a good example, but like, he still had to. You got to go find a way. If we were fucking deplatformed on Instagram, we wouldn't be able to just go and like, oh, now we've got like our own private fucking website to come to and follow. Like, people are gonna be like, well, I'm on Instagram. I'm not
you're not relevant
anymore.
I'm
not on your website.
Imagine if they. Dribble and yarn became illegal, for example, punters and dribblers.
They're coming for us.
And they came for us. And fucking, you know, Spotify and Apple were like, you're off. And YouTube were like, you're off. And fucking Instagram were like, you're off. What then? We better go get jobs. See you later.
Yeah, see ya.
It's all over.
Whoops. Thank God I held on to my high viz. And my fucking steel caps.
It's crazy the power they've got, those motherfuckers. Crazy. Yeah. And their interpretation of what? Information they'll allow is more in alignment with their beliefs.
Political ideology. Like, there was one where, so David Portnoy.
People say that they're pressured by fucking, you know, Big Pharma and all that shit. But I think it's more in the case of like, they're not prepared to entertain the other side.
But the thing is that they're like, they shouldn't be politically aligned.
But they are.
But they are.
They're left as fuck.
Yeah. So like the Twitter, Dave Portnoy.
You don't think they're left, Dave?
I don't think so, really.
Bruhs.
Like,
Twitter couldn't be more fucking left if they tried. They like, you don't see any like, you only see right-wing fucking people get deplatformed off Twitter.
Okay, name me one like famous left, like hard left, like there are hard right, you know, commentators we know. Can you name one hard left commentator?
AOC.
Hard left? Not quite. She just voted to support military funding to Israel. She's been completely like centralized by the American.
She's certainly, she's becoming more central, but she's been like the leftist queen for the longest.
Well, she
time.
Has, but that's the thing. She's like this leftist queen,
but she's a fraud.
But she's
like all left, hard left people are ultimately. And I'm not right, but I certainly see. I think hard left and right, they're all fucking frauds.
No, but that's like, because you don't see proper hard left like traditional Marxist communist people getting airtime online. You see these like crazy right wing people who have like white supremacist views, but you don't
on
really
Twitter,
get I don't know about. I'm not really on Twitter, so I don't know about Twitter. I'm just talking about like in the media generally.
I think the fringes of both are dealt with relatively, but I think that the more, and like the more centrist right, which is still fucking right, are far more harshly treated by large tech platforms and shit. Like you get that so Dave Portnoy, who is the head of Barstool, he put up a photo of AOC who went to that Met Gala ball and she had on her dress Tax the Rich. That was part of the thing. And then Dave Portnoy was like, oh, Tax the Rich, just after I go to this humongous ball that basically celebrates richness.
Yes.
Tax the Rich, right? Even though I'm here schmoozing all these rich cunts. He just put that up as an opinion on his fucking Twitter with a photo of it. And then it got flagged by Twitter so that anytime you saw it, it was like, this has been taken out of context. Click here to see what actually... It's like, how is an opinion taken out of fucking context? Like, he's just giving his opinion, which ultimately, if you look at it, it costs like $240,000 a table to go to those.
But see, I don't see that as a right-wing comment. To me, that's a left-wing comment because that's the criticism she was getting.
It's not, but he's seen as a right-wing figure.
Yeah, but he's because he's attacking a left.
He's attacking a left-wing person.
But she copped it from all sides for that, which was hilarious.
Yeah,
but they went out of their way to flag his comment and be like, here's the real point. Here's the real fucking... you know, opinion, and this was taken out of context. See the real context here. Like, that's a lot of fucking legwork for one person, one account.
And back to, and again, it's at risk of sounding like a fucking anti-vaxxer, which is, it's tough. That's the thing, you can barely talk about it. But like, when there was the, like, because the lab leak theory, I think, has become quite a prominent, like, almost a commonly accepted one to a degree in terms of how coronavirus started.
Well, I think they're just saying,
there's a coronavirus lab in Wuhan.
Well, I think they were just going, listen, they were studying it in Wuhan, and then there's coronavirus in Wuhan.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a wild fucking joining of the dots.
No, but there are people who have been deplatformed from Twitter because when they were initially saying that this was a theory, people were like, that's fucking outrageous.
Well, remember Trump was saying it, and people were like, how dare you and shit? And he's like calling it the Chinese flu.
Yeah.
Everyone calls it the Spanish flu, even though... I don't even think it was Spanish.
No.
But that's what they call it. No, bats an eyelid.
No, bats an eyelid. So it's just those things where it's like, you know.
It's political correctness going fucking mad.
All right, Brandy.
What do you say?
All right, Brandy.
Brandy.
Alexander, remember when Tapao got his hair pulled and he copped it and the dude copped a penalty? Brandy's like, this is political correctness gone mad. You don't remember that in the Manly game?
No.
Yeah, but I don't think you should be able to pull a man's hair.
Yeah, but that's not political. Yeah, you shouldn't, but I think he was just stretching a bit for that.
Wait, but was Brandy saying you should be able to pull a man's hair?
I think so.
Really?
Well, he said, the penalty, he was, because it wasn't like a purposeful grab. He grabbed and then let go when he realized and got penalized.
Yeah, I think Brandy in that point maybe misusing the term.
Yeah.
Look, Brandy's played. He played a lot of first grade footy, and you know.
Yeah, it's not exactly political correctness. The term political correctness gone mad probably does get used. It's almost like the Southern Cross tattoo of sort of like political of commentary where you're going like, oh, okay. Unfortunately, the Southern Cross at one point was just a representation of the nation that people could get behind. Now you just seem like a racist. So it's like political correctness. Well,
it's like Australia Day, like. Australian, if you're fucking got the bloody Australian flag out the window on Australia Day, you look like
a fucking racist.
you look like a racist.
You may as well have the Confederate flag.
Like go down to Bondi for example on Australia Day, you won't see a single flag down there.
No, people are just like, ugh.
Yeah.
I guess it's
not touching
like,
that.
Nah, not worth it.
Not worth it.
I'm
not
basically worth. Racist.
But you know what I mean, like. Well, that doesn't make you racist.
Of course it doesn't.
But people fucking...
But I also think most people don't. It's always the way. Most people don't think you are, but it's the loud... Like, but the thing with Australia Day is that people are just like, change the date, which I'm completely like, I get that because it's steeped in fucking, racial oppression of the indigenous people. So it's like, why wouldn't we just change it? It's only been around for a fucking... like
Since the 80s.
Since the 80s and
90s. Late 80s, 87. Not long.
No. Anyway, that... probably draws to a close the political
look,
portion of the podcast.
I think so. I mean,
We
Tom
always,
and I are going to talk politics for maybe 5 minutes.
We dip our toes in.
Well, it's not going to be more than 5, 6, 7 minutes.
You're not going to come out of it with any greater understanding of anything.
You know why? Because we don't know what we're talking about.
We have no idea what we're talking about.
We're regurgitating things we might have read in a headline.
Yeah, we dance around fucking opinions without having any of our own, even though we sort of do, but are they ours? No, they're usually informed by someone else.
They're appropriated.
Yeah.
Like everyone else.
Yep. So there's that.
We buy that, and we put it to one side.
We put it to one side, we wrap it up like Dave's lovely gift basket there, and we leave that as it is. Are we starting our own political party of dribble and yarn? Potentially.
Would people support a political party that was just pro dribble and yarn? And that's all it was.
The dribble and yarn party.
And it celebrated dribble and yarn. And
unqualified opinion, unwavering bias.
Well, would you say that dribble and yarn is already... In a political way, is already quite prevalent in politics, because I find these politicians will say a lot. They'll dribble for a long time without really saying that much and nothing with conviction either.
So you've got to be able to dribble, but they don't yarn.
Well, yeah, but they will never acknowledge unqualified opinion, unwavering bias. They dribble and yarn and try and pretend like it is well-informed and unbiased and legitimate opinion, whereas we come from a complete place of transparency in that we don't know what the fuck we're talking about. Whereas the Prime Minister, for example, we're back in political spheres, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a fucking dead shit dribbler. Like they all are, essentially. And so when they start telling
They're public servants.
They aren't, though, are they? Isn't that such a fucking poorly used term?
But we pay for them, right?
Yeah, they aren't serving us.
Every time they do an interview where they don't answer the question, they dance around it, they should be doc pay.
Yep.
That'd get them fucking talking.
Bro, is it true, Dave, that these, like, and again, this goes across all fucking left, right, liberal, labor, that they've been getting pay increases over the pandemic?
Yeah, probably.
I'm pretty sure fucking Dan Andrews and Gladys, like...
Why, because they're working too hard?
Oh, sorry.
You're doing your job.
You've been called upon. While fucking hardworking Australians are just locked in their house, you guys are getting pay rises?
Well, not just that, but the New South Wales government has been like refusing to rock up essentially I don't even know if they're back yet.
I mean.
Oh, as in to like the house
For sitting sessions. Like,
I kind of get that.
I remember seeing a few weeks ago, but all the other parties like Labor and all the crossbenchers turned up. But
oh, really?
Yeah. And there was no mandate saying like, you know, like they were deemed an essential service, so they were allowed to work. But anyway, too political.
No, but I mean, I get it. But
I think
they're all fucked, dude.
I think we can all agree politicians get paid too much,
and that they're all fucked. Because if you really want to do it, you usually
do they get paid too little because it attracts a certain.
Well, that's
breed.
The thing is, there's some quote
because all the fucking like, all the weapons are in the private sector because they're chasing that big bicky.
Yeah, but also private sector's filled with some fucking questionable cunts as well,
and ex-politicians.
Like, yeah.
I'm not saying that there is some shady fuckers in there. I'm saying that, like, you would say, generally speaking, that most of the weapons...
Yeah, people are good.
...who are great at their job are in the private sector.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whereas you've got these...
Because they're like, incentivized to be.
To do, yeah, whereas the politicians...
And they're incentivized to do a great job.
But I wonder whether you have... If you paid them less, then it's the people that are only in it for the right reasons.
Yeah,
which is like helping.
There's this quote by
it's
Harry...
It's not money. It's about fucking
So they're actually in a... So pay them way less or pay them...
Fuckloads.
Fuckloads more.
But if you... If it's fuckloads, you incentivize the dog cunts are still going to be incentivized to get in there. It's all about backstabbing and fucking being like, you know, shady. That's also one of those things where it's like when it comes to people like...
Underhand and backstabbing is not going to go away though.
But when you see the people... Like when you see these large amounts of people who don't trust the vaccine... Or the government. It's like, because the government in many other areas aren't trustworthy. That's the thing where I'm like, sometimes I'm shocked by how shocked people are that there are like all these anti-vaxxers out there. Like, because...
There isn't that many.
No, there's not that many. But like, okay.
I think New South Wales is on track to be like one of the most vaccinated places in the world.
But just when you go like the government, people talk about how, let's remove like coronavirus and all that shit from it. The general rhetoric around politicians and government is that they're shady and they fucking lie to you. Like, that's it. They're full of shit. They don't answer questions. They dance around the fucking truth. There's many different areas where they're fucking shady across the years. So, like, it's to me, it's sometimes a little bit shocking when people are like, what? Well, the fucking, that's what they're saying. This is what the government's saying. It's like, yeah, but they also fucking lie about a lot of other stuff. I'm not saying they're lying about coronavirus. I've removed coronavirus from this conversation.
But it's a problem, especially in these Indigenous communities, now that the government's trying to get them vaccinated, because in Indigenous communities, like more so than the rest of the nation, like you don't trust the government because they've spent the last 100 years trying to fuck you over. So, yeah. Now it's like, oh, we kind of have to trust them with this, and it's hard to build that trust back up.
100%.
Yeah, you know, people don't forget, and it wasn't that long ago they were getting completely ringed. So,
and still are to a degree.
Certainly. Well, you know yeah, I mean? Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, they're still getting ringed, societally speaking. Yes. But I mean, there was like an active government policy to fuck them over that long ago.
No, I know, exactly. Like, that's what's like really not that long ago at all.
No, like what, 70 years ago, 60 years ago?
Where they weren't even considered human.
I think that was the 1960s, what, 50 years ago?
That is.
That's not long. That's fucking half a generation.
Mate.
It's half someone's life who lives to 100.
There
not
are some
long.
Fucking premiership droughts.
You're
almost
50
as long.
Soon.
Exactly. That's unfair. That's
18 years, you're 50.
Dude, that's scat. That's almost the amount of years I've been out of school.
Whoa. There you go. So you are...
I'm almost 50.
You're almost 50.
Is that flu? I'm 50 in a fucking...
You're 50 in a fucking... Click of the fingers.
That's what's scary as we really tight the political chat. We've wrapped it up. We've gone. It's bowed. But that is terrifying. When you think about, like, I remember when I was young and, like, your parents and even now, they're like, man, it goes quick. You know, oh, your life goes quick. The time from finishing school to now... has been the quickest period of my life without a shadow of a doubt.
What's that for you?
15 years next 14, year, I think. Yeah, next year.
14 years now.
Yeah, 14 years.
Almost like, I think they're getting close to doing their HSC. So it's basically 14 years now.
Yeah, 14 years, right? Like, that goes so quickly. It's like a blink of an eye. You wake up and you're fucking 32 and you got a bad back and fucking bad knees and you can't run 10Ks. Well, you can. But like...
I'm not 32 though.
No, you're not. But to think about it, when you just put it in those terms, where it's like I'm fucking 50 in 18 years, you are, dude. In 8 years, I'm 40. And you're like, life's... It's not like life's
well, if same time period, you're 46. In 14 years, you're 46.
I'm 46.
Oh, my God.
Like, and for anyone, right? Like, it just goes... It goes far quicker, even though, you know, there's sort of like different planes, right? Like, from a real, like... top-down level, it goes fucking quick. But then when you're down on the ground, you're in it right now, and like a day can take ages.
It's weird. I tell you what do go quick. Weeks.
Weeks fly.
Days go quick, but then there's also like slow days sort of. But weeks. Weeks are consistently moving like fucking.
When do you think the weeks started getting quick? Because weeks weren't always quick.
Weeks got quicker. I think weeks get quick when you've got like a routine and you're busy.
Yeah. But I reckon the week didn't start getting quick for me until maybe like 24, 25.
I think when we left uni, when I got a full-time job, I think is
week
when the week started
going. Rip.
Yeah, because before that, like, we'd, you know, you'd get up at fucking, we didn't do anything.
No, we didn't do anything.
I think back about what we used to do during the day, and I'm like, didn't we get bored?
We just got bent, I think, dude.
But do you know what I mean?
Skateboarded, played video games.
Like, get up at 11, play fucking video games, get stoned, maybe do like fucking, maybe go to uni, but probably not.
Probably not.
Go get a fucking case of goon and then go again. But like some days you do nothing at all.
But maybe, and that's why the weeks went slower because you were just fucking
because like
doing
I
nothing.
Think about like doing nothing on a Sunday, right, if you're hungover. And then like the anxiety that I would get from doing that back-to-back days, like if I did Monday, I got up and
did nothing.
Fuck all.
Yeah.
And Tuesday, I got up and did absolutely
because there's
fuck
like
a,
something you want to, you're trying to work towards shit now, I guess. Yeah. So it's like you feel like you're just sitting in one
you're
spot.
Guilty, yeah.
Even with like just with.
But back then you were comfortable to do nothing.
To do nothing.
And you didn't know what you wanted to do.
Because you didn't give a fuck.
And you didn't care.
But I wonder if you're doing a job you hate, whether it takes a long time.
Possibly.
Like whether a week is slow if you hate
done
what you're doing.
Well.
Yeah, well, when a bit like
what
the
about,
days
how,
would take a long
how,
time.
How long did the week, were the weeks still quick when you were on the tools?
I can't really remember. The days were long. Like you clock watch during the day and you're like, fuck, mate. Like I'm on this jackhammer for another fucking 5 hours. Or like even the last half an hour was probably the longest part of the day because you're like, fuck, all right, am I going to go yet? Like, can we go? What the fuck's going on? I've got to sweep some shit. Like those moments went long. But I don't know, like I never hated it. If you fucking don't like the job you're doing, I just wonder how, like, whether it's because if you're enjoying it, it sort of goes quick. But even now, like Hello Sport and About Even and all this sort of shit that we do, like, I can finish a day and I've done a fuckload and I'm still stressed that I haven't done enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's something about if you were sitting there doing nothing or just like taking a day to just do nothing, you're like, oh my God, wig me out.
Yeah, I think that's the difference. But yeah, I used to do absolutely nothing and there was not really a care in the world. But then the cares come.
The cares come. Responsibility. The more responsibility you get, the more it just sort of...
The best was like, you know, first or second year of uni when you're like, I've still got like 2 to 3 years of uni to go.
Yeah.
Like that's a nice buffer.
That's a nice buffer.
I don't really need to worry about anything.
No, I've got nothing to worry about except for like, you know, just like some sort of a job that will provide me income.
But you're not thinking about that then.
No, but I mean like you need some money.
At that point in time, yeah, oh yeah.
So you just have like money. I don't mean like what I'm doing for the rest of my life. Yeah. Like,
well, we'd live
off youth allowance, but like, you know, then it'd be like, oh, maybe I'm fucking working in a bar. Or like, was it Jarch? He was at the dog food factory.
Yeah, he did. I was at the fucking.
You were the bread factory?
Breadcrumb factory. I did like 4 shifts there. I set the same punters and dribblers. The breadcrumb factory was fucking brutal. So it was 6 p.m. till 6 a.m. You got a couple of breaks, but they weren't many, in this big fucking shed. And basically they would make bread and then they'd like fucking grind it up for breadcrumbs and it would like get shipped around the country. But my job, and any fucking shit kicker entry level fucking job, was that like there would be bread stacked up on these like carts, like trolleys, and you would like have all these fucking trolleys lined up and you would sort of go over to the trolley and get off like a fucking row of bread and then put it onto this sort of like table where there'd be a conveyor belt and you'd have to load up the bread. And so it would go up the conveyor belt into like the shredder. I didn't realize for some years later that like they told you that the machine wouldn't work if the bread wasn't like stacked together, like it'd fuck out. It wasn't until years later that that was like a productivity fucking trick. Because you could slack, right? And then they were like, to make sure you were fucking pounding bread into this thing, they told you it wouldn't work if you didn't have the bread lined up. So to the point where you would have to have bread lined up, like stacked up, so that when you went to get another trolley of bread, you could come up and you'd have bread ready to go to slide on and make up the lost
time of you going to get the next thing. So you
does
just,
that make sense?
Yeah. So as in you always had like
always had bread ready to go.
The next cartridge of bread ready to
to load in. And you wouldn't really miss a beat. If you were to look at the conveyor belt, which was quite long, you wouldn't see many gaps in the bread.
Right. So, but you could really just be dumping bread, like, as in.
But you could just go, I'll dump bread, I won't stack it up and save it, and I'll meander over to the fucking trolley, and I might go for a piss or whatever,
but
you know.
So you were like, phew.
Pounding bread.
How many loaves do you reckon you get through a shift?
Oh, bro, so much bread, dude. So much bread. The longest shifts of all time. And so you'd get home.
Do you have headphones in or anything?
The night shift you were allowed headphones because no one cared. Day shift you weren't.
Why?
And it was in a hot shed. Some cunt was doing that job during the day, no headphones, in a shed in the middle of summer. Mate, I'm like,
not enough thoughts in the world.
Mate. And cunts, like, I'd get home absolutely shagged and sleep till like 2 and then like, the dread of like going back to this place. I did it like 3 times.
Dude.
Was just overwhelming. Yeah. I think I did it to pay off a Bali trip. I was going to Bali or something, so I had to get the money.
Yeah, that was that's all you were doing those sort of jobs for, right? It was like, I need some money.
But these guys would do that every night and they're like, fucking, oh, can I get overtime? And they'd stay back and they'd try and add like a weekend shift and shit. And I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah, that's a fucking tough gig. Tough, tough gig.
Whereas at Jarch at the dog factory, he would get moved around every 2 hours to a
different station.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas I was just
were
on
you
bread.
In the fucking? He was in the full white onesie suit with a hairnet and a helmet and shit. Did you have to do that?
I had a hairnet. Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. You don't want fucking hair and breadcrumbs.
No, you don't. Quality control, Tom.
Yeah, yeah, sure. The bread factory game. I don't think I'd ever did anything that scat. Well, you've already told my story about doing the fucking. Selling raffle tickets. I didn't get paid a cent for that. I didn't deserve a cent either. I bailed like after an hour.
We didn't do anything.
Well, no. I mean, I caught a fucking train to Chester Hills. Shout out to Chester Hills.
Yeah, the only other work we did was Mount Pan, like the Bathurst 1000.
Yeah, what did I do? That was the easiest job in the world. Not for you. You had a bit more of a shit kickery job.
The first year I had the best job. Like we would just load up, go in trucks at night and load up the fucking the cool rooms. But then the next year I was on dish pig duty.
Yeah, dude, I jagged
out the back fucking pounding plates all day, bro. It was fucked up.
I jagged the best job. Well, no, you go.
I did that out at, like, we did the Australian Open once because it was like the same company would send you text being like, can you work?
We're in Melbourne.
No, Australian Open Golf was in...
Oh, sorry.
Was in Sydney. And I was on dish pig duty. And it was like in this fucking tent out the back. Like the main... Because the kitchen was next to like the function area or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was air conditioned. But our little fucking place out the back was not. Because they were like, oh, you know, we don't want the food to get cold. I'm like, sure. Righto. Okay. That was the longest 4 or 5 days of my entire life. Easily, comfortably, like so fucking long. You want to talk about clock watching? Holy shit.
But did you just have to rinse them and then put them in a dishwasher? Or were you cleaning these fucking...
No, plates? You got to put them in the dishy, yeah, but right. Still.
No, I'm not.
Plates are piling in.
No, I get it. I'm just trying to... I was like, I would hope to Christ you're not actually solely responsible for the cleanliness of the dish. I hope it's getting put into something seriously hot.
Well, no, it's getting put into those like...
Steam cleaner.
The kitchen grade fucking... plate washers and it just pounds them out.
Yeah.
But even that wasn't enough, Tom. It was horrendous work.
When I was in...
That aged me, that shit.
When I was on... My job that I did for Mount Panorama was... My job was sick. I was in a corporate box on the fucking finish line in the closest race in their history where both fucking cars were like fucking hooking it. And... The box was purchased by these absolute fucking... petrol head dribblers that tour around, like follow the races everywhere they go. And I don't know how much that shit cost, but it was a fucking room full of them. And they were as dribbly as it gets. All I had to do was stand there and just crack beers all day. I just stood in one spot and just crack beers and give them to them. But then I don't know if they still do this with Bathurst, but like they have the fucking promo girls who are all just like super hot chicks, often from the uni, and they're just like in the tight fucking racing gear and they just walk around from box to box, sit down with these fucking sleazebag dudes and just shoot the shit. And then the girls came in and they were sitting around the table with these guys and I'm just still cracking beers, not paying much attention. And again, the chicks are dressed very sexily.
They're in leather and
they're
shit.
They're in like tight leather
out.
And their tits are out and all that sort of stuff. Not literally out, but clavage.
Mm.
And then this guy comes up to me as I'm standing there at the bar and he's like, can I give you a beer? And he's like, oi, check this out. And I'm like, huh? And he pulls out his phone and he was this fat fucking pig of a human. And he pulls out his phone and it was a shit phone. Like it was iPhone days, but this phone was like horrible.
Yeah.
And he's like, check this out. And I'm like, yeah. And I look at his phone and he's been sitting across the table from one of these girls and taking just zoomed in close up, like chest to just cleavage. And he's showing me and I'm like.
Oh, he wanted to show you.
He was showing. He's like, check this out. Yeah, oh my God. And he's showing me the photos and I'm like, righto, dude. And he keeps showing me. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's fucking disgusting. Anyway, and just moved on. I'm like. This is the sort of person, sorry to generalize, who buys a fucking corporate box at Bathurst on race week. Like, this is fucking disgusting. And I'm like, she's still in the room, dude. Like, why are you, firstly, like, what are you taking? It's just cleavage photos. But like, you've been sneaking them across the table on your fucking
4 megapixel phone. Yeah.
Dude, just go to Pornhub, dude. Like, what are we doing?
Oh, my God, bro.
Dribblers.
Race week is just the king of the dribblers. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Good stuff.
I think that's us.
I think so.
I think we leave it on that fucking disgusting note.
Leave it on cleavage.
If you didn't know already about Even Now on podcast, that's our betting show. It's still on YouTube. It is on podcast. I don't know what the fuck's going on. It's hard to find on Spotify at the moment. We are looking into
it. No, it's up now.
Is it fully easy to find?
Yeah, yeah. Check your stuff.
Dave, can you go to your Spotify while we're here? Assuming you have it.
Yep.
And just search about Even.
Okay. When you search about Even, Hello Sport.
It comes
Sport.
Up with Hello Sport yeah. and about Even announcing. It doesn't come up.
It came up for me yesterday.
Guys, if...
It does not come up. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Oh, if you type in about even, it comes up. But it doesn't predict it for you. You know what I mean? Like if I start writing Hello Sport.
Really? I just typed in. So hang on.
If you type in about even and then go to where it says podcasts and click on it, then it'll be there.
So I'm assuming maybe it's just because it's new, it takes a while.
Yeah, it's just getting into its work.
It's fucking annoying, but it is there. If you can't find it on Spotify, type in Shane Keith Productions. Also, if you go to link in our bio, it'll take you straight there. So it's easy enough. But it is on podcast now, still on YouTube. But we're just trying to provide more fucking content for the Pun and the Dribbler. So we sincerely apologize for going above and beyond for you day in, day out. But I think that's us, right? Eddie?
I think so, mate. Hell of a show.
Hell of a show. We'll see you on Monday.
Bye-bye.
Anyone who thinks that we stop when rugby league does is a fucking idiot. We don't stop. We roll.
Test cricket. My favourite sport.
So
there you go.
We'll see you then.
Could you two just not talk anymore?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.